It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and today we've got a special podcast for you. We are talking to America's favorite player from Big Brother 18, Victor Arroyo. Victor, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, what's up? How you guys doing? El Fit Vic himself, the Puerto Rican sensation in the flesh.
Vic, so great to have you here, man. So excited to chat with you. We're going to talk about your game. I've also got my homeboys from the LFC. First, he's unverified, not like El Fit Vic. It's Alex Kidwell, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, how are you?
Well, you just said, Jordan, I'm unverified on Twitter and really in life.
But I'm looking at you, so it's pretty official. So you're good to go, bro.
I appreciate that, man. Thanks.
And also unverified, but maybe if any of us is going to get verified of the people at robiswebsite.com, I feel like it's this man. Taryn Armstrong, how are you, man?
I'm great. I battled my way back to get on this podcast with Victor, so I'm really excited about that.
Dude, I love how you have your shirt unbuttoned just so slightly to where if you had the chest hair coming out, all you need is like a gold chain. Maybe a Rolex, and you'll be looking like a mafioso, bro.
This is my like I'm just like hanging out in like no clothes, and I just throw a shirt on. That's basically.
Bottom half has nothing. The top half has clothes.
Okay. Okay. Showing a little thigh on the podcast there.
Impressive. Like a knee.
Okay, let's set things up for you guys. So we're going to be talking to Victor about his game on Big Brother 18. So we're going to try to go through it week by week, or at least as best as we can. We've got Victor only for a limited amount of time. So we're going to do our best to talk about his game, get into where his head was at certain points of the game. If you want to send a question in for Victor, you can tweet me. I am at Jordan Parhar. You can use hashtag #RehappyHour to send those in. Victor, let's just jump right into it. Pre-game, I want to get into how you got into Big Brother. How did you end up on the show? Did you apply? Did you get recruited? How did that work?
So 2 years ago, actually, for season 16, I applied. And I went to like an open call, you know, like everybody else. And I made it through the process to the end. And then I didn't get picked. And so I was kind of salty, you know. I was a little mad that I didn't pick. So I took a hiatus from Big Brother for a couple years. And then this year came around, you know, I had just quit my job, moved back home. I was working at the front desk at the gym and then got, you know, manager position, but I still wasn't happy with what I was doing at the time. And then I saw Big Brother was coming around and I almost didn't go to the auditions. Like I went back and forth on if I should go or not. And then I was like, well, if I don't go, I'm going to regret it. So I went to an open call, stood in line for 3 hours, just like everybody else. And, skip to America's favorite player. I mean, it's bizarre. The entire thing is bizarre.
Oh, definitely, man. It's a very somebody who went through it myself. I mean, I didn't win Canada's favorite player, but you know, the rest of the process is very very crazy along the way.
Yeah.
So how big of a fan were you then of Big Brother? I mean, what made you want to apply? Have you been watching the show for a long time?
So actually, you know, I'll be completely honest, in season 16, when I applied, I hadn't watched any of the show, and it's when I applied that I started watching a couple seasons, and I thought it was really freaking cool. Like, I was like, man, this is crazy. You're in a house, no cell phone, no TV, no contact with the outside world, and you got to handle all these different personalities that you've never met before. And so I was like, this is an experience of a lifetime. So I was like, let's do it. Why not? $500,000 on the line, get to do competitions and stuff. I was like, let's just try it and let's see what's up.
So going into the game then, Victor, did you do anything to prepare or did you just focus on remaining L-fit?
My biggest concern was remaining L-fit. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I was ready to compete. Terms of like strategizing or anything like that, I mean, I didn't think about it too much because you just never know what's going to happen when you go into the house. So you don't know who you're going to meet. So you can try to come up with some strategic plan of what you want to do, but it might not work at all because you don't know who you're competing against. So I just try to go in with an open mind and win comps. That's literally my thing, was to win comps and stay loyal to people. And that was it.
Okay, so there we go. So winning comps, staying loyal to people. That's the game plan. Night one, Victor, you go in the house. You see all these newbies. You're probably like really excited. You see everybody there. But then Julie comes on the screen and announces that there are returning players this season. What went through your head when you found out that information?
Literally, I told myself they have to go. Those are the first people that have to leave the house. I didn't know who they were. And it's ironic enough because I was like, these people have played the game before. And I end up playing the game three times in one season. But I was like, these people have to go. They had their chance already. It's not fair. Let's get them out first. And then we'll go from there. That was my mindset.
Were you familiar with any of those players at all? Or no? Were these all like foreign entities to you?
I had seen James, but I didn't watch his season. I had watched Nicole's season. So the only person I really knew was Nicole. Everybody else, I was like, who are these people? but even then, after I met them all, I was like, they still have to go. I mean, I don't want to compete against veterans. Who wants to compete against veterans? They know what they're doing.
Okay, fair enough. So night one, it's also announced you got the team twist going in there. So ultimately you're on Team Unicorn. By the way, why did you guys choose Team Unicorn? That's such a random name.
The first name that we actually came up with was Los Asesinos.
Oh, right? Okay.
Which is like the assassins in Spanish. Then, so that wasn't allowed. And Team Unicorn was our backup plan. You know, obviously Natalie came up with that one, I think. And we had to go with plan B. So we were team, Team Unicorn.
Wait. Why, like 2 years ago, they tried to do like El Cuatro. Why is that allowed, but you can't do Los Asesinos? Like, what's the line?
No, I don't know what the logic was there. I was a little bit salty, I'm not going to lie. And then I was just like, whatever. The Team Unicorns, I guess it's cute and funny. I'll just run with it.
Yeah, that's just so weird. Like, Taryn, of all the names, I feel like that would have been Los Asesinos, or however you say it, would have been the better name. Like, what? We had Freakazoids Unit. Like, really? Like, I don't understand why Big Brother would do that.
Maybe. Well, and it's hard, though, because, you know, when you think about coming up with a name, it sounds like an easy task. But then when it actually comes down to it, everybody's just like...
And yeah, if you're watching,
literally, you're like,
dead silence. Victor's looking
dead
side
silence.
To side.
Nothing. Yeah. I'm just looking. Everybody's just looking at each other, coming up with nothing. A couple crap names come out, and then you get a name or two that's like, oh well, I guess we can work with that.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe the announcer vetoed it because he didn't want to have to try to pronounce it every time they did a recap.
Probably. That's what subtitles every time we say it.
Yeah, our voiceover guy is going to have trouble here.
Probably what it was.
Were you happy with your team with the whole team situation?
I was actually a little salty that – I mean, I say salty a lot, but I was actually – you know, I thought I was going to get picked first or second, but I think I got picked like third. I was like, what? What? I felt like that kid in PE that nobody wants on their team, but they have to take him. That's how I felt.
Well, I think safe to say at this point, steal the draft, right?
Yeah.
Pretty safe. Yeah.
They got me for a cheaper price.
Yeah, and you delivered. I mean, you're the last one holding on. You win it for Team Unicorn there. You've got to be feeling pretty good at that point. Ultimately, we see Glenn go out. He was in – how long was Glenn – was Glenn even in there for a day, Victor?
And 28 hours.
So did you talk to him about like strategy or anything at all, or was Glenn – because Glenn has said in interviews, he has said that he would have – he was like, I'm going to work with Paul and Victor. That's what I would have done. That's what he said. And
got the voice on point. Yeah. I mean, we had already talked to Glenn. Glenn was our boy. He was going to be riding and dying with us. And if he would have won that competition, the plan was he was going to take that HOH. He wasn't just going to give it away like Corey and Tiffany did. And essentially put up one of the veterans to go home. And so that was the plan. But obviously that didn't happen, and he went home. But, yeah, he's really cool. And even after the show was over, he stayed an extra couple days in L.A., and me, him, and Paul hung out together. So he's really cool, and I'm going to see him now when I go to New York on Wednesday.
All right, that's awesome, man. Well, maybe in Big Brother Over the Top 2, you, Paul, and Glenn will get thrown into the house and you can be the greatest alliance in the history of BBOTT. So you talk about week one. Nicole wins HOH, as you mentioned here. And she is gunning hard for the newbies here. What's the game plan in terms of like the alliances? You guys all seem to be pretty tight. Who are you really vibing with early on? Jose is saying he's the Messiah of the newbies. Clearly you had a friendship with him, but with your relationship with Paul, did it begin right from the get-go?
So actually my relationship with Jose was tighter than me and Paul from the get-go. As in, we were all working together. You know, it was me, Paul, Bronte, Natalie, Glenn, but he left. And then so it was us working together. And I think we had Bridget in there, but we weren't sure where her head was at the moment. But, yeah, you know, Jose was my boy, my ride or die. I mean, we bunked beds together the first couple of days. We would hang out all the time. And so everything was good. And then he gets evicted. And then it's just like me, Paul, Bronte, Natalie, like, oh, crap, we're the next ones to go. And that's when me and Paul's friendship really started.
So Jose, as you mentioned, he's evicted this week here. Did you think at all about teaming up with the veterans at all? I mean, or was it solely, no, you're gunning for the newbie, or you're teaming up with the newbies, you're gunning for them 100%, and you don't want to work with them whatsoever?
Well, it wasn't that I didn't want to work with them whatsoever. It was more of I had already told, you know, I had already agreed to this alliance with these people. I'm not going to turn my back on them now. I know we're in the rut of it, but like I said, I stay loyal. I'm that guy. And if we're going to go down, fucking plane crashes, we all crash together. So I was just going to stick with them to the end. And that's what got me evicted that first time, which is fine. And I was okay with it.
So going one other thing from week one that I think people want to hear about as well is the feeds were down early on. So we didn't get to see everything for the first few days, at least. Several people mentioned in the house that you and Natalie kind of had a thing early on. How serious was that? Was that actually a real thing, or is that kind of just overblown?
So for like the first 4 days, yeah, me and her hung out a lot. I call it more like a flirtmans because we weren't really into showmans or anything like that. But we were flirting, hanging out, cuddling, you know, no kissing or anything like that. You know, just very friendly. And then we did a little date thing and that was fun. But, you know, I just didn't think that we were a mesh compatible, a showmans thing. And I just let her know, it's like, hey, you know, maybe we should, you know, stop this here, continue as friends or whatever. And that's really all it was. It wasn't anything serious, but we just got to know each other and realized that, you know, we weren't for each other. So that's when it stopped.
Okay. Yeah, that was a really interesting part of this season, right? Because we didn't get – like the live feeds don't come on until like almost a week in. So like we just have like the secondhand information. Like, whoa, Victor and Natalie have already like become close and then come apart and we haven't even seen any of this. Like it's crazy. Like we missed so much.
Yep. Because I've gotten those questions too. Like what actually happened? And it's really nothing. We just – it's like when you meet somebody out except you actually live with them.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not just texting. You actually have to see them every day. And so, I mean, I'm not going to say I regret it, but it might have been better that that didn't even happen at all, obviously, because nothing came of it, you know?
Right. So, totally.
But, you know, she's a good girl, and we were hanging out at the Rodney Bowl, and we had a lot of fun together, me, her, and James, and so it was really cool.
That's awesome, man. Taryn, anything you want to ask Vic about week one before we move on to week two?
Are there any, like, funny stories that, you know, we may have missed that we don't know about?
I can't say that there are. I mean, that was so long ago, bro.
Yeah. I'm sure it feels even longer than it was, too.
If you would have to be asking me, because I can't – off the top of my head, I could tell you that Glenn cooked a really bomb-ass meal that first night. He cooked, like, this amazing pasta with the pasta sauce and all this for everybody, all 16 of us, and it was really good. And that's what we remember Glenn for, that pasta.
Shout out to Glenn. We love us some Glenn Garcia. He's a great dude. Okay. Okay. So week two, then we go into this. Jose is evicted by a vote of 7-4-0. Victor, how long did it take for you to realize that Jose was going home? Did you knew post veto ceremony that he was done for?
No, I actually didn't know. I was just hopeful. But I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought that we might have it because, you know, we were, what, at that point, like 1-2 votes away?
Yeah, I mean, three votes is what you were down by. So, yeah, realistically, not too many.
And then, right, and you got Jose thought he had Zakiya and Davon, right? Like, you thought these votes were there. So
we thought – we actually – I believe that we had those votes there. And it actually – probably in retrospect for them, it would have been in their favor for that to happen, because we stayed loyal the whole time and we would have just stayed as a, you know, like as a group, but it didn't, and it's fine. But it was a blind side to me when Jose went, it really was. And then I just knew at that point that, oh no, my neck is on the line.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be a scary moment for you. You're like, oh crap, my really one of my ride or dies is out of this game. I got to win this HOH here. And it turns out Paulie is the winner of this head of household competition.
Oh, I was livid because James threw the competition. Oh, I was so pissed. And then he told me that because I kind of knew. But he didn't tell me for sure until I came back in the house that he threw it and he apologized. But man, because we had it. We had it by a land. We would have won easy. And then he fell off once we were stacking the last stack. And so once Paulie won, I was like, oh man, that's it. I was like, I'm 100% going on the block, going home.
Yeah, and you know what? You were right, Victor. You predicted the future. You went on the block. Paulie ended up winning the power of veto. He used it on Paul. You are backdoored. Is there anything you – or did you try to do anything that you could – or was there anything you could think of to save yourself at this point?
What people kept telling me is like, oh, why did you tell Paulie about the winning the roadkill and telling him that you're going to put Tiffany up? Why did you give him all this information? And – it's literally because that's the only thing I could have done at the time, because if I would have just stayed quiet, I would have been on the block backdoored anyways. So why not try, show them, you know, here, hand them an olive branch, say, look, I'm the one that run the roadkill. This is who I'm going to put up. Y'all can trust me because I'm giving you all this information that I don't have to give you, you know. And so that was my last ditch effort to do that. And I wasn't going to throw Bronte or Paul under the bus or Natalie. So I was just saying, maybe I'll put Tiffany up. She was already rubbing people a little bit the wrong way in the beginning. And so maybe I'll have a chance there. But then everybody flipped on me and, you know, I was the plan to go and I went.
Was there any talk about or consideration in your mind for putting Frank on the block or one of the vets?
No, because at the time I couldn't put Frank up because he was with Paulie.
Team twist. That's right, man. I hated that team twist.
Yep.
How frustrating was that for you in there?
That's the only thing that kept the veterans safe at first. Because everybody was down to get the veterans out until they found out that they'd have to be on teams with them. And then the only way that they can get voted out is if their entire team was vulnerable. So they didn't want to do that anymore.
Oh, man. Jeez. That was such a brutal twist. I did not like that. Okay. So before we get into your eviction, Taryn, Alex, anything you want to ask Vic before we move to week three?
I mean, like we saw Paul, who was kind of in the know with Paulie that like this is probably going to happen. We saw him try to drop some hints to you along the way. What was that experience? What did you think that Paul was trying to tell you at the time?
Well, I knew it was going to happen. And that's what people would come at. You know, Paul was trying to tell you, but you tell me what I would have done different.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing.
The fix was in, bro. Yeah. Right.
Like, if I'm going to get evicted, all I can do is try to gain trust from the guy that's going to evict me and get, like, what am I going to do? Just say, oh, I'm not going to tell him that I won the roadkill and put Tiffany up anyway. And then I go home anyways. So there's literally nothing I could have done different. Unless, because I haven't watched the show, so possibly maybe I could have put James on the block or somebody else and that could have happened. But at the time, I don't know any of this. So I thought that was my best gameplay and trusting these people. But if I know that I'm going home, then what's the point? You know, yeah. I mean, if that's where my whole thing is.
No, yeah, you're totally – I don't think that there was anything you could have done at that point. Paulie was pretty dead set on you. On the show, that was, I think, the kind of the start of America starting to kind of fall in love with Paul and you, because it was a compelling moment to see Paul kind of just like upset that it's happening but unable to stop it and trying to like do something about it. It's like it was the start of the bromance, and you know, luckily you got to come back and continue it.
You were talking about how Tiffany seemed like a good kind of consensus target for you to try to like shift onto. I definitely got the vibe that people were, you know, like there was some layer of like Tiffany wasn't really connecting with a lot of people. Like what do you think it was that like, I mean, do you think it was just the fact that people immediately like picked up on that she had to be Vanessa's sister, or was it just something about how she was approaching people?
I think it was just her personality. you know, it's just her personality, I guess, didn't blend with some other people's personalities, and it kind of rubbed them the wrong way, especially at the beginning, you know, when everybody first gets to meet each other. And I thought, you know, because of that, that would have been my best bet. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I didn't think at the time that anybody else, especially so early in the game, you know, it's mm-hmm. really off your first impression about somebody. And if I can use that first impression to get somebody out, then cool. You know, that's what I was trying. That was my intention.
And it did seem at the time, I mean, it did seem like Paulie and Tiffany weren't, you know, on the same page in terms of a lot of things. So I get where you're coming from with that. Definitely.
That's what I was trying to do there.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost like a couple weeks too early because, yeah, Paulie really grew to dislike Tiffany quite a bit in the house. And that's mm-hmm. kind of led to her downfall. So ultimately, Vic, you get evicted. You go home 9-1. When Julie announces the battle back and that you can win your way back into the house, what's going through your mind?
Get the fuck out of here. I could come back already because I'm leaving the house. I'm like, oh, my friends are going to give me all this shit. You went out freaking third. You weren't even there. And that's all that was going through my mind. I was going to get reamed by everybody like, oh, you suck or whatever. And so I was like, well, let's do it. Like, I'm ready to compete. Let's go. Like, I'm ready to start playing these games and fighting my way back into the house.
In terms of the first competition you had against Jose, was that evening or was that later on? Did you have much time to prepare for that?
No, that was right when I got out.
Oh, wow.
Gotcha. So yeah, that's the thing that wasn't really clear with the way it was all edited and put together. It's like, when and how far apart did these battle back competitions happen?
Yeah. It was like a week in between. So it's whenever somebody got evicted.
Right. Then you would go back out. Okay. So in between that, you're just hanging out in like a sequester house. Like, what did you do to pass the time? Because that had been so boring.
Was just, you know, watching TV, you know, nothing. Obviously, we can't see what's going on in the outside world. So just DVDs, working out, swimming, checking out the view, but nothing. I mean, it's really boring. But I will tell you that not having to strategize, not having to be paranoid, knowing that I just have to beat the next person that comes out after that, you know, and then I just get back into the house, makes it so much easier. You don't have to strategize. You just have to win. So it was a nice little decompression from the game.
No, I bet. Victor, have you ever thought about going on the challenge? Because I feel like you would kill it on that show because you could just win all the way to the end and then just win the money. That would be amazing. Have you heard of the challenge?
I haven't heard of the challenge.
Okay, it's on MTV. You should check it out. I think you would really like that show.
It's I would more physical. Like the Amazing Race with Paul. That's okay. What we want to do.
That okay, too. Okay. That would be good.
That would be great too. I could definitely see that. Interesting. Amazing Race is off the air right now though.
It is off the air right now.
So hopefully it comes back and we can get the Sitting Ducks on there.
Yeah, it's a friendship.
I've had people tell me that you should do American Ninja Warrior.
American Ninja Warrior? Yeah. Oh, hell no. I am not. That's too much. I don't even – that. Just that pull-up bar that they pull off and then hook on and hook mm-hmm. on, I would – I'd be done with that. Even that run-up wall seems a little steep.
All right. There you go. So, So Victor is hanging out in the sequester house really for a couple weeks on his own, chilling, watching TV. So week three, week four – you're hanging out in there. You beat Jose, Bronte, and Tiffany. You earn your way back into the house for week five. And Victor, when you re-entered, it seemed to us at home, there was kind of a shift in you. I don't know what it was, but it really seemed like you were having people seemed to like you a lot more in the house. The fans really got a lot more behind you because the first few weeks of the show, people were just like, oh, okay, well, Victor, whatever. But when you came back, people really started to fall in love with you. So what was the change? What did your attitude change when you went back in?
So I can tell you when I first came into the house, at first it was all fun and games when I was safe. But as soon as Jose left, first Glenn left and then Jose, like I wasn't having fun anymore. I knew all these conversations were happening behind my back. Paranoia 100%. Like I just wasn't having fun. I was just pissed off, nervous, and I wasn't myself. And, you know, and that can attest to why people wouldn't like me, because who likes that guy? Nobody likes that guy. But when I came back in the house, so when you get evicted, and I'll tell you this obviously from experience, when you get evicted, everything goes by the wayside. Like you walk out and the game for you is over. And so I was relaxed. And when I came back in, like to get evicted, I knew what it was like to come back in the house. And so all my paranoia, everything just went away, and I started having fun. That's when I really started having fun in the house. And then I wasn't talking game as much with anybody, just Paul. So I didn't have to worry about things that I said going around, you know. And so it was nice. Like that second time around was great. I was having fun. And that's why y'all saw the shift in me and actually the fighter in me, if you would.
Yeah, definitely. No, it was really definitely fun to watch, to see that turnaround for you and to get to see the real L-Fit Vic in there. So you're back in then after being away for a few weeks. What's the biggest surprise for you? Because you didn't have any information. So what was the one thing that made you go, wait, what? Really? That happened?
Oh, the refrigerator was fixed. No, I'm kidding. It's true, though. But my biggest thing was when I came back in and Paul pulls me aside and he tells me that everybody wants to get Frank out. The house has shifted on Frank, because when I left, Frank was like the life of the party. Everybody loved Frank. He could say whatever, get away. And I come back, and during the dubstepping competition, I see they're all going back and forth, Frank and Devon and Bridget, and I'm stubborn as fuck and all that. And I'm just like, what is going on? I'm just over here, you know, just eating my popcorn. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to stay out of this. Let them go at it. And I'll just be over here as a vote for somebody.
Yeah, it was surprising for us too, especially considering how on top the vets were when you left the house, to only see it flip within a few short weeks.
Because even with Jeff, when I sat down with Jeff Schroeder on the after show, they asked me who the most dangerous player was. And I said, Frank. Because he was just doing so well, getting along with everybody. And from what I understood, he's a competition beast as well. And so I was like, you know, if anybody, it would be him.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Speaking of, did they let you keep your Battle Back championship belt?
It should be coming in the mail sometime soon. Yeah, I've been waiting on it.
Yeah, very nice. That's awesome. That's so cool, man.
I'm excited.
That's great. That's so cool. You got to get – maybe, Victor, you can get verified on Instagram once you have the Battle Back belt.
I put it on my shoulder here, just hanging out and be like, verify me now, bitches.
Check out the strap.
Okay. So James wins HOH here, and then you see all this stuff go down. So how, on a scale of 1 to 10, how nervous are you that you could potentially be going right back out the door?
I was a little skeptical because James came up to me and he wanted to have a conversation with me, and he was telling me, hey, you know, I know this happened. I threw the comp. You know, I know you were coming after me and all the prank stuff and everything, but now that you're back, you know, we're going after bigger targets in the house. Let's get a fresh start. I'm not going to put you up on the block, and we're going to be cool and we'll work together. And he told me that, and yeah, you know, I trusted him, but I took it with a grain of salt, you know. It wasn't until he didn't put me up on the block and I didn't get backdoored that I was like, okay, this is good. We can work together. And so I was happy. I was happy about that. But I can't say that I was nervous, because I wasn't 100% sold that I was the one going to stay. I thought I was be the one going.
Right. And ultimately, James sticks to his word. He sticks to his word to you. He betrays Frank and Bridget. Yeah.
Blatantly broke his word, just not to fix her.
Blatantly.
This time, yeah.
As he did on BB17, James puts up Bridget and Frank, with Frank as his target. Ultimately, Michelle wins the veto, keeps the nominations the same. Frank is evicted by a vote of 9-0. Alex, Taryn, anything you want to ask Victor before we move on to week 6?
I did have something. What was it, though?
Okay.
I'll tell you something from, you know, just from being right back in the house. The cool thing about getting evicted so early is that everybody that's in the house evicted you at one point or another.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Actually, they evicted me. So nobody could ever be mad if I evict them.
Right.
That's the beauty of being evicted like third.
You've got the leg up.
So literally, because after the show, when I talked to Frank, he loves me and I love Frank to death. And he knows that he wasn't mad at me for voting him out, because he voted me out. And then he knew the dynamics of the house when I came back in, and he knew I couldn't work with him. So he wasn't mad at all. And mostly because he had voted me out already. So he's like, dude, I'm not even mad at you. You just did what you had to do.
I knew what I was going to ask. You talked about like James's pranks a little bit and how that created like a little bit of a thing that week. Like obviously like a lot of people are just like, yo, what's the problem? It's pranks. But like, talk about what that's like to live with someone who's like leaving like cracker crumbs in the bed and like, you know, like throwing eggs in the place and like,
fucking ant problem in that house. And so anything you leave out, ants swarm to. That's the one that pissed me off. Two, he doesn't clean it up. It's not like he makes a prank and he goes back and cleans it up. Three, we're wasting food. We eat that. There was almost an entire loaf of bread gone in people's pillowcases. Like, I don't understand the rationale behind it. I don't get it. Like, different pranks, whatever. You know, the Vaseline on the handles, all that. But the food ones really ticked me off.
We were saying this on the podcast all summer, so this is
great. Did you ever ask James why he does all that stuff?
No. I mean, he's just – I mean, that's his personality. He's a goofy guy. I'm not entirely sure what his motive. Maybe it was just to have fun, but I wasn't having it. And that's around at the beginning, because that's at the time that I wasn't having fun in the house, you know, that I was constantly on edge, paranoid and pissed off. So just any little thing would tick me off. But when I came back the second time and he was doing his pranks, I didn't care as much. You know, you didn't see me get mad at him or anything. I actually helped him in some of his pranks. So, you know, that's where it shifted for me.
So let's move on. So Frank was evicted 9-0 in week 5. We jumped to week 6. Paul is your boy. He wins HOH. I mean, so you're again, second week in a row, you're back in the house and you know you're safe. I mean, how great does it feel at this point? You've got two weeks now.
I was ecstatic. I was so happy. But then I got a little mad because Paul was like, well, we need somebody to go up as a pawn. And he asked me, and I was like, are you kidding me? Why would you even present this question to me?
I forgot about that.
But then he afterwards, he told me, he's like, well, I had to, he's like, I wasn't going to put you up, but in front of everybody, I have to ask you, so I can't show favoritism and everybody thinks we're working 100% together. So I had to present the question. And so you just gave it back to me as a no, so that's fine.
I remember that moment, and I remember saying on the podcast that I felt like you handled that like exactly how you should, which is just immediately like, no, that's not an option. Don't even think of it.
Yeah. I was like, no, every person in this house voted me out. I am not going up on the block as a pawn. No, thank you.
Yeah, if these people have already evicted me, I'm not a pawn anymore. I'm clearly a target.
Exactly.
You can't sell that.
So that happens. Okay. So Paul wins HOH. He asks you to go on the block. You don't, was this the week the executives formed, Victor?
The executives started forming the week James was HOH.
Okay. So
that's when it kind of started slowly coming together. And then during Paul, I think is actually when we actually all meshed and agreed, you know, to actually be working together. Yeah.
So how did that feel to finally actually have some people that had your back finally outside of Paul?
It felt, you know, it felt great. And the type of person I am, once James didn't put me up, you know, I was loyal to him. And then once, you know, obviously Paul, he's my boy, he wasn't going to put me up. And then we were working with Paulie and Corey at the time. So it seemed like a legit tight group that can make moves and win stuff. And, you know, I was ecstatic. I was so happy about that. I was like, yeah, let's go. Let's do this. I felt good. I felt like I was in a good spot.
So you mentioned earlier, Paul is looking for a pawn. Ultimately, Paulie volunteers to go on the block. He goes up, wins the veto. Davon gets backdoored. She goes home by a vote of 6-2. But on her way out the door, Victor, she says to you that they're gunning for you in the double eviction. How seriously did you take that?
I didn't want to completely rule it out, but there was a part of me that was also like, nah, my boys wouldn't do that to me. But it also stays in the back of your head too, because it could be true. It's the Big Brother house. But I want to give my buddies the benefit of the doubt and be like, oh no, that's just, you know, she's just talking. It has nothing to do, you know, it's not real. She's just saying that. And so I don't know. All I knew is I wanted to win that next HOH. So, I can make sure one of the people that want me out goes home.
Right. And I remember a lot of people saying, like, why isn't Victor just, like, you know, operating on that knowledge? And it's like, well, you don't necessarily know if what Davon is you know, Devon has been out of the loop for a week because she's.
I'll tell you right now, America, America, America. When you're in the house, all you know is what you say and what people tell you. I don't see the side conversation that somebody has after they talk to me in the diary room talking about, oh, we're going to get him out or we're going to do this or we're going to do that. I don't have that information. You do. So obviously it's easy for you to make a decision, but I have nothing to go off of. So just keep that in mind when you're processing the information, when you're watching the TV show.
Well said.
Definitely. Taryn, who, because Davon did mention this. This was true, though, right? I can't remember. BB-18 is just like a blur for me.
I feel like it had been true, but the thing was that, like, they had been leaving Davon out of the loop for about a week at that point, and it was, like, kind of outdated information.
It was.
So, exactly. So what I understood from that was they said that because they wanted to get Davon out. So they wanted to defer the information of what was actually going on and be like, oh, no, we're going to get Victor out.
Yeah, I believe it was it stemmed from that conversation where James accidentally – she asked them what they were talking about, and James accidentally said, like, oh, we're talking about putting up V&B in the eviction. She was like, wait, Bridget shouldn't be here, though. And he was like, oh, right. I don't know. So it was somewhat credible in the sense that Paulie did have the idea that, you know, maybe we should gun for Victor at some point, but it came from bad information from James.
Yeah, it wasn't like set in stone, but they were thinking about it. Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, you say you want to win that next HOH. Sure enough, week 7 rolls around, you do win HOH. And at this point, it looks like you're here to stay. I mean, you've got 3 weeks where you're back in the house. People are starting to forget, okay, Victor's already been evicted.
Can I tell you, that was harsh hashtags, correct?
Yes, what? That was harsh hashtags, yes.
15 open blisters on my hand.
Man.
Really?
Ripta, wow. Y'all didn't see that. Literally 15 open, like when you're working out or something, you're cutting the grass and then it rips open and it's just like flesh. 15 of those on my hand. Literally, I could not shower. I hopped in the shower, water hit him, and I was like, ah! Like, after that, I couldn't wash my hair for the next, like, week. I just had to run water through it. It was nasty. I felt so horrible. I was like, this is the best, worst HOH ever.
That was the one where you were up against Natalie for a really long time, and she was constantly like, oh, I'm about to get down, and then she'd stay on forever. Like, that must have been so frustrating.
I was like, look,
for
girl,
us
just
at home.
I was like, do your thing. Don't worry about me. I love my mom as much as you love your mom. So I'm just going to stay up here. And just whenever you're ready, you can just hop off.
Yeah, who was it? It might have been Paul on the sidelines. Who, after she had been saying that for a while, I was like, yo, so this is the competition of who loves their mom more, right?
Like, yeah. I was like, look, I love my mom just as much as you do. So don't make me feel bad. And then she was like, no, but I'll keep you safe. And I was like, I've been evicted 3 times. No, not at this point. Like, I've been evicted before. I'm not going to take that chance. I can't afford it.
All right. So your nominations then, Victor, are Michelle and Zakiya for the week. You didn't really click with Zakiya ever in the house, at least from our perspective. Why was that?
I don't know. We just never really talked. And she was always, you know, with Paulie, and that was it. Like, it was her and Paulie and Davon. I mean, that's who she really just talked to the whole time. And I guess I never just really got a chance to sit down and really talk to her. And I don't think she was interested in talking to me at the time either. Like, you know, I don't know. We just didn't click, I guess. And so, yeah. And then I did the Mardi Gras bead thing. And
yeah, talk about that a little bit. What inspired you to do the Mardi Gras bead thing? And did you regret it when you saw Big Meech crying afterwards?
Nah, I mean, Big Meech, she cries. And I love her to death, but she cries. And it wasn't anything – she should have saw that kind of coming, because like 2 days before, long story short, she had told me something about not liking people whispering. At that time, I was working with the people that were doing the whispering. So I relayed the information. She tried to try to cover it up and lie about it because she was working with Michelle at the time. And then Michelle got mad at me the day that she found out, you know, a couple days later. And so when I came to talk to her about something, we were cool the whole day. I gave her a stuffed animal. She like threw it on the floor and I was like, whoa. And then when I came back later to try to talk to her, she's like, oh, I'm just mad that people run their mouths. And then so she was talking about me to me, but without saying that it was me. And so I was like,
while you're HOH.
I was like, oh, no, this is right before I won the HOH.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, okay. And then, like, the next day or so, she said something to the effect of, today's not the day to be pissing people off. You know, she told that to me and she told that to James. And I was like, all right, I won't forget that. And then so when I won and I had eight and I had like the beads, I was like, and I had that jester hat too. And so my plan was to put it in the jester hat and then at the end do my little poem and like slide out the beads. But I just thought it was hilarious. The tears, I really were unnecessary because Zakiya didn't cry. The tears were unnecessary, but she's an emotional person, so it's okay, you know. And we talked about it afterwards, and she really wasn't my target that week at all. You know, she was just a pawn at that point. And so, yeah, I mean, we're cool. I love Michelle. I was talking to her just a couple days ago. Yeah.
Yeah, Meech is cool. We're fans of Big Meech over on robinswebsite.com. So you put up Michelle and Zakiya here. Power veto plays out. Paulie wins. Are you nervous that he's going to use the veto on Zakiya at all? And if he did use it on Zakiya, what do you think he would have done?
So at the beginning, that's a hard question because he was so sure, especially after the veto on what Michelle said, that Michelle would be the one going home, you know, before that?
It was right around – it was kind of right around then, right, Taryn? Refresh my memory. That was the week like, where – pretty much.
Basically, Michelle said something and called him out, and then so he really wanted to get her out, and he was so sure that she was going out that he wasn't going to use the veto. And then per the conversations in our alliance, you know, the executives, I didn't think he was going to use it because he told me he wasn't going to use it. But if he did use it at that time, I really don't know who I would have had to put up. And I think everybody would have wanted me to put Bridget up, but that's not what I wanted to do. So I don't know what would have happened.
Okay, so there we go. And then Taryn, this was the week right where, because again, I'm going to you on this because you've got a better memory than I do. This was the week where Paul and Victor kind of went with Michelle, or sorry, with James and Natalie, right, and Bridget.
Yeah, definitely. This was the week that Paulie's downfall began.
Yeah, it all started. So James had the blocking two votes. So you could block two votes. And so when it got down to like the day of is when it all blew up, the day of the eviction. And it all blew up because James wasn't going to use it. Zakiya was going to go home and Paulie just flipped and everybody was calling out Paulie. And like it was like two or three days of all everybody just going against Paulie. And I was just back like, oh, this is perfect because I'm HOH and nobody's looking at me anymore. I'm the one that put these people up. And now everybody's attacking Paulie. And then that's when me, James, and Natalie and Paul started working together, get the ball rolling to, you know, get Paulie out.
Taryn, Alex, anything you want to ask Vic before we jump to the double?
Well, what was the moment for you? What was the moment for you where you decided that you no longer wanted to work with Paulie? And like this was the reason that you decided to go against Paulie, essentially.
Well, it was because I had found out that Paulie already had a final three deal with Corey and James, apparently. And so I heard that, and I had a final three with Paulie and Paul. And so I heard that, and I was like, okay, you had backdoored me before, and now you're trying to work against me before we even get down to the final five. I'm not having it. And then everybody else already had a distaste for him. So I was like, that's going to be the best move then, you know, get Paulie out. And Paul kind of convinced me to do that as well. So it was like a team effort to get that going.
We got a question from at Ms. Chris on Twitter. She wanted to know, were you ever threatened by Paul and Paulie, the PP relationship? Were you ever threatened by Paul and Paulie at all? Did that factor into you wanting to go against Paulie at all?
Not really. You know, I had seen that they gotten close or whatever, but it kind of worked in my favor because me and Paul were still close, but it detached us as an alliance. So them being them all the time, if anything, put more focus on them and just left me as, you know, just a, you know, competitor and a vote for people. And so they saw them more as a threat than me, possibly. Obviously, I haven't watched the show yet, so I'm not sure what everybody was really thinking, but I think that's what that was going through my mind at the time.
Okay, so we jump to the double eviction. Corey wins the HOH here. Are you worried at all that he's going to target you or Paul because you guys have kind of jumped ship, or do you think that you're going to be okay based on the executive's relationship?
The executive relationship, at that point, we had spoken. We were – because After Zakiya left, all the guys got together really quick and were like, guys, okay, this happened. Fuck that shit. Let's leave it on the side now. Let's get back to working with the bros. That's all we need. The girls didn't matter anyway because we're the bros, and let's work together, and boom. And so that was it. So I wasn't worried. I wasn't really worried about that.
Okay. And sure enough, good instincts on your part. Corey goes after Michelle and Bridget. He wins the POV as well, doesn't use it, and Bridget is evicted by a vote of 5-1. Was there any discussion of getting rid of Michelle? Because Paulie was so adamant that he wanted to get rid of her, right? So why was it 5-1 to evict Bridget?
The guys thought, you know, when I say the guys, it was really more Corey and Paulie, that Bridget would be more of a threat because she had won some competitions and Michelle had only won the OTEV one. And so we thought that it would be better to get her out. I didn't want Bridget to go home. But at that time, I was standing on one leg. I was outgoing HOH. If whatever they say, I'm going to do. You know, I'm not going to compromise my game. And so when they said we're going for Bridget to go home, I was like, dang it, you know, because I was trying to work with Bridget. And then now she's on the block and they want her out. And so now I have to do what they want to do.
Okay, so week 8 rolls around. You've left the HOH room for a couple of hours, and surprise, you win HOH again and go right back into the HOH room. But you're forced to show your cards here a little bit, Victor, because now you've kind of put yourself in this position where, you know, you've still got this relationship with the guys, but you know, now people want you to kind of go against Paulie as well. Did you ever consider throwing this HOH at all or not winning it so you didn't have to show your hand?
I've never thrown a competition, and I would never throw a competition. I always want to win every competition, no matter how many cards I'm showing. So, no, I didn't – not 1 second passed by that I thought I was going to throw it. I just played it to win it. Did I think I was going to win? I mean, you never know. It's a little bit of skill, a little bit of luck, especially when all the chef hats showed up on the screen. I was like – ooh, I don't know how many are out there, but yeah, so I never questioned it. And it wasn't until after I won that me and Paul were talking and I was going back and forth just a little bit on putting Paulie up or not. And then Paul, you know, he hard convinced me that, you know, this is going to be the best time to get him out. We got to do it now. We got to blindside him.
So how soon after that HOH did you guys come to that decision?
Oh, immediately. It was like 10 minutes after, 5 minutes after, whenever we went, right when we went back into the house and we talked about it, because it's hard to get away from people. So as soon as we had a chance, we talked, solidified it, boom, it was done.
Done. Okay. So there we go. So you put up Paulie and Corey here. It's the Zingbot POV. You win the power veto. So all the power is in your hands this week. Paulie was really campaigning hard to you. And there was a little short video that somebody tweeted out that with you just shutting Paulie down, and everybody was just celebrating and loving it so much, Victor. Talk about that a little bit. How tough was it to just put Paulie in his place there?
Well, you know, I'm not a mean person. So when he starts talking to me, I let him go, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I understand this and that. But it gets to a point where I'm like, yo, you put me up on the block. You evicted me. Well, when we were talking, you said that I'll be good. Everything's going to be fine. I was sitting there with you and Frank, and y'all said it'd be good. Next thing I know, I'm out the door. I come back, all right? And then I found out that you have a final three. Like, why in the world would I use the veto? Basically, I just kept shutting him down, essentially, doing exactly what you said. And it got to a point where we were in the kitchen, and I was doing just that. And he was denying this, he was denying that. People made him do it, all that. And he's like, what you're saying, you know, you're not right. And I was like, look, what if everything that I'm saying wrong is wrong, and it makes no sense, and there's no logic? He'd be like, well, then it is what it is, and I'm on the block. And I was like, then that's exactly what it is. It makes no sense. I'm not logical. This conversation is done. He's
like, all right. I think this is like almost the moment where you won America's Favorite Player, I think. Like,
yes.
Like, really, yeah. Like, everybody was absolutely in love with what you're doing.
You can break it down to one moment. Yeah.
Because, yeah. Like, I'm not somebody that'll argue. I don't yell. I don't get loud. And all the conversations that I had with Paulie are like conversations that I'm having with you guys. It's just very straightforward and to the point because, you know, I don't get excitable.
Right. And from his end, he's not going to be ready to end it at any point until he gets his result. Yeah. So.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I let him, you know, I let him have his conversations or whatever. And obviously those conversations stopped as soon as I didn't use the veto. And then he's telling everybody that I'm the one that has to go. So.
Oh, man. Pauly. Oh, what a guy. What a guy that Pauly Calafiore is. Victor, did you happen to see the Pauly singing Treasure by Bruno Mars this past weekend?
I saw a snippet of it. And it's funny because Glenn FaceTimed me, and then it was Frankie Grande that wanted to talk to me. And I talked to Frankie for a little bit. And then I saw Pauly there, obviously. And I love Pauly to death. I really want to go and hang out with him and stuff. But I saw it. I thought it was kind of cute, kind of corny at the same time, you know. This is one of those things, you know, he brings the key out. And it looked like they had a great time. I actually wanted to go, but I was doing the Bullies reality in Boston, so I couldn't come down to do that. But me and him, we're going to hang out one day. Okay. I like the guy. I mean, outside of the house, he's a cool kid. And, you know, I have nothing against anybody from Big Brother. Like on my season, like I'm cool with everybody. And that's what I love about it.
And that is very impressive, Victor, because most people from Big Brother are not cool with everyone from Big Brother. So
not even half, a lot of people.
Yeah. Kudos to you, my friend. That's very impressive. Okay. So Pauly's evicted by a vote of 5-0. So going into week 9 here, are you worried at all that the target is getting increasingly bigger and bigger on your back because you just keep on winning and nobody seems to be able to stop you?
Yeah, I mean, I knew at some point I would have to go, but being blindsided by Natalie and James like that, I was not expecting. When she called me up to the room after she won, like when she won, I was happy. But then how she was acting when we went back into the house, I was like, oh, you know, I don't know about this. And even when me and Paul went to go to bed that night, I was like, we were talking. We're like, yeah, dude, we're going to get boned. Like, this is not good. And then so when we wake up the next day and the whole day is going on, she calls me up to the room and saying that I'm going up as a pawn. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Are you kidding me? I did what I had to do. I kept you guys safe. I had several chances to get y'all to go home. And now you're turning on me? I was like, I was mad. I wasn't happy. And actually, a part that y'all didn't see is when we're sitting down at the table before they do the nominations and before they come downstairs – I sat down and I was like, well, I guess I should have brought my Vaseline. I should have brought some lube. And Nicole looks at me and she's like, lube, why? And I was like, oh, because I'm about to get fucked. And so, and sure enough, but you know, props to Natalie for giving me like the best nomination speech ever, which is really nice. You know, you're so nice. Got to meet you again. You're a great competitor. Hope you get yourself off the block, you know, all that stuff. So that felt good. I end up going home that week. And
yeah.
It's fine.
So let's before we get into that, Victor, just talk to us about the Natalie thing a little bit here. Would you have remained loyal to Natalie and James had she not turned on you at this point?
Now she realizes it's a mistake in the game. Was putting me and Paul up opposed to Corey. And you know, she admits it. Sorry, you know, I should have stayed loyal to you because you were loyal to us, X, Y, and the third. And so, yeah, I mean, I would have.
Okay. So, so you go home here, you're evicted by a vote of 2-1. And surprise, surprise, battle back 2.0, Victor, you have a chance to get back in the house again. This must have just been the most mind-blowing thing here. How did you stay focused during that competition to get back in the house? Because I think I would have been so overwhelmed if I was in that position of being voted out again and then having a chance to go back in again. But it didn't seem to faze you.
Saw that it was a wall comp. I'll be completely honest. My competition is Pauly, and Pauly, he's a really good competitor, especially a physical, but I'm not going to show it. Whatever I do, I'm not going to show it. I'm going to make it look like I'm going to be on that wall all day until everybody just falls off and it's just going to be me. And then, especially when I saw Pauly slip the first time and catch himself again, just stiffened up. I'm going to win this. It's going to be fine. Then he fell off and my body was like, all right, Victor, now you're done. Hey, that's it. You're back in the house. That's all you needed to do is just like hop off now because your body's hurting too much.
You did say that like just I don't want to backtrack too much. But with the Natalie thing, like you did say you could tell, you know what I mean? Like you got the vibe really early on. We've heard people on the podcast talk about, especially people who've like with Survivor, who have like played and then gone back and played again, that they feel like having been voted out, now they knew what to look for in terms of like, okay, they're not making eye contact. They're just like agreeing with everything I say. That's a warning sign. Like, did you feel that way? Like after having been voted out once, did you feel like, oh, I'm picking up on things that I wasn't picking up on the first time?
Yeah. You can just tell when you talk to somebody, they're not like, the plan was, you know, put Corey and Nicole up. So when I come up to Natalie and be like, oh, we can do our plan, get Corey and Nicole up, you know, this and this is going to be awesome. It's like, yeah. Nothing solid. Nothing like, yeah, we're about to get them out. This is awesome. Like, we're in a good spot. It's like, yeah, haha, and then don't look at you in the eyes. And it's like, not like, what the fuck just happened? I thought we were working together. Now you're not as excited as I am. Like, I thought, bowling, and this is perfect. So
definitely.
You catch up on things.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so Nicole wins. We're going jumping back here to when you get back in the house. You're back in the house again. Nicole wins HOH. You've got to be really concerned at this point, right? That you're going to be going up again at least?
I'm actually not as concerned when Nicole wins because before I left, I told Paul, and he knew this already, to already start forming a bond with Corey and Nicole. ASAP, because when I'm gone, you're going to be by yourself and you have to start working with them. So he had already got the ball rolling with that, not knowing that I was going to come back in. So when I come back in and they're already talking, it only makes sense for Corey and Cole to work with the strongest players in the house and get everybody else out. I mean, and so that worked out perfectly for me. So once she won, I wasn't so worried. And then especially after we talked and we, you know, solidified the final four deal and everything, like I felt good.
So was it this week or then the week before when you and Paul were pretending like you weren't working together anymore?
It was the week before the wall comp, that week that I left. It was just the last couple of days.
How tough was it for you to do that? And why didn't you continue to do that when you were back in the house?
Well, because – okay. It was tough because it actually started – we were sitting in the kitchen table and I had already been talking to James. You know, James had been talking to me about how – Paul wasn't helping me out, how Paul, he hasn't even campaigned for me. And I was relaying all this information to Paul, and he's like, that's perfect. Just keep feeding off that. Let's just keep doing this. And then so when he was having that conversation in the kitchen, and James was like, been, you know, hanging out with your boy who might be leaving this week. He's on the block and this and the 30M campaign. And then Paul was like, well, he hasn't brought it up to me. I didn't think it was an issue or anything like that. And he looks at me, and he gives me the eyes like – he, like, gives me the eyeballs to, like, just start going. And then that's when I start going in on him. And mid-conversation, I do my little quack, quack, you know, our little duck signal. Something, and I did that symbol in the middle just so he knows that that's part of it. And he knew. And so we had this whole back and forth. And I was like, yeah, you better be ready because if I come back, you know, whatever, I'm putting you up, blah, blah, blah. And then right after that, we're in a room like, this is so funny. They're believing us a little bit. This is hilarious. Sitting ducks for life. You know, like it was good. It was kind of hard, but it was fun at the same time. But after I came back, sense for me to pretend that me and Paul were against each other because I had just gotten voted out by the people that said they were working with me. I need those people to think anything of me because I never cared. Now I'm working with Corey and Nicole. And everybody else can just, you know, they can just leave the house.
Fair enough.
Did you know just how close that came to working, the fake fight? Like, it came very close.
It came pretty close.
Yeah.
I was optimistic. I wasn't 100%. I was just a little optimistic that we might have done just enough to make that work. Just enough. But at the end of the day, you know, it didn't work. And I left. But I'll tell you what, seeing the faces on those people when I came back in that house was like, oh, shit, we fucked up.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was a fun week. I enjoyed that a lot. That night, I don't think I've been more excited to see something happen on Big Brother in a long time. When you got back in and you're like, F yeah, back in the effing house, and you just went crazy when you're in. Oh, it's just that was just great. Okay, so Nicole wins HOH here. She puts up Paul and Michelle, and it seems so. things go according to plan here. Michelle is evicted 3-2 after Nicole breaks the tie. Week 11, you win HOH again. You put up James and Natalie. And a big surprise, you put up James and Natalie, who screwed you over.
Hey, and hey, this evict the person that evicted you the first time, but now have the power and put up the people that evicted you. That is amazing. Best grin from here to here. They can't tell me anything. Literally cannot tell me enough. Why are you putting me up? Well, you evicted me. So they knew it was going to happen. When I was HOH, they knew that was going to happen. So I didn't even have to explain myself.
You're like the crow of the Big Brother house.
Yeah. So, just won't die and nothing needs to be said. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So Victor, you straight up, they know what's happening. So James and Natalie go on the block. Corey wins the POV. He does not use it. Natalie goes here 3-0. You know, there was some talk about, you know, from us watching at home thinking, oh, why didn't Victor and Paul push more to evict James rather than Natalie? Why was that, Victor?
It was her own fault, actually. Well, in the veto, that it was enough to convince us. And because obviously after the fact, Nicole and Corey never wanted James gone, but they had to convince us to make that happen, you know, because if you think about it, what we all wanted to do as a group, they're compromising themselves. So as much as they want to say now that, oh yeah, we would have never voted out James, imagine having a pissed off Victor and a pissed off Paul that you didn't vote out James and then you got Natalie out, because then they would be shaking next competition. But they did a really good job at convincing us that Natalie was a bigger threat because she had won competitions. She almost won this last one on the harsh hashtag. She gave me a hard time on the egg chicken coop comp. And so that she was a bigger threat than James and that she had to go. So if it wasn't for her doing so well in that last veto, I'd have been able to get James out.
Okay, so there you go. So Natalie's evicted. Running short on time here, so we'll quickly try to wrap things up. Week 12, Corey wins HOH. And then it's unfortunately the end of L-Fit Vic in the BB18 house. He nominates you and Paul for eviction. Yeah. Nicole wins that comic book POV, and you go home by a vote of 2-0. Any thoughts in your head that there might be a third battle back, Victor, when you go on stage with Julie?
I know. I was like, if they ask me to go back in, they might as well just write me the check because it's over. I was even if they told me, I would have probably been like, no, I'm done. Going the other way. No, it would have been bizarre if they called me in one more time.
I was starting to think that they might do it, honestly. Like, at that point, I mean, you've done it so many times. Why not? I mean, just do it the BB18, the season of Victor, right? Right? But anyway, so you go home here 2-0. How are you feeling about your game then at this? Now that, you know, it's all over, the dust has cleared, you've won America's favorite player. How crazy is it to go from being evicted week 2 to being that close to winning the money?
I mean, it's a really bizarre feeling. It's not, you know, I didn't plan it. Nobody can plan it. That's not scripted. Like, I honestly, every time I played a battle back, I was like, well, I could either be going home to see my family or I'm back in the Big Brother house, you know? So not so bad either way. I'd obviously like to go back in the house. And then getting evicted again, I thought I was going to go to jury, hang out, and then next again. And so the third time I was evicted, I was like, doing this game. Everybody in the house knows that if I would have made it to jury, I would have won this game. None of them could have took me to the end. And then after getting out of the house completely and having the reception from everybody, stick to what I wanted to do, staying loyal to the people I want to stay loyal to and win comps. You know, I couldn't ask for anything better than that. So I would not change anything that I did in the game because it was just so, so awesome. And I mean, an experience that not even past players of Big Brother have ever gotten. So I feel honored.
Yeah, man.
Kind. Yep.
Yeah. Only person to be evicted 3 times in one season. So there you go, Victor. Very impressive. You came back in twice, evicted 3 times. What's the biggest thing you learned from this entire experience, Victor? Because playing Big Brother, I mean, especially at a young age, you learn a lot of things. At least I did. So I'm curious, what was the biggest thing for you?
That mantra, never give up, is real. That is not a lie. You just got to keep, if you want it, you just got to keep going for it. You got to stay hungry, because I could have easily just gave up the first time. The second time, been like, look, I'm not getting in the house. Like, there's no way. That, and two, having patience with people. Living with so many people in a house 24/7 that you don't even know, your patience grows. And now I feel like a real laid back person, and I just go with the flow. And I can talk to people easier. I mean, stress myself out about the little things, because it's, you know, it's not the end of the world. It'll be all right.
Absolutely, man. Definitely. After all that experience, I'm sure now you know, I feel like nothing would really bother you at this point after going through that whirlwind that you did. I think a big thing people want to know is, one, I'm sure you're going to get asked to go back and play again at some point. Do you want to go back and play, Victor, if you get the opportunity?
I would definitely go back if I was giving given another chance. Yes, I would. It was just an amazing summer.
And if you did go back and play this game again, would you take the same approach of just trying to win competitions and remain loyal to people, or would you try to change your game up a little bit?
You know, I've gotten that question a lot, and the problem is, in all fairness, I could probably backstab people, and America would still love me because they know I tried to do it the right way the first time. I wouldn't be happy with myself because I just can't do that. I can't tell you that I'm going to work with you and then just fucking put a knife in your back. I can't in person. So that's what I liked about playing the game that I did, because I came out the exact same person I went in as. And so now I don't have to answer the questions about why'd you do, you know, this way, why'd you do that way, or why'd you turn on this person? Because that's not who I am. You know, if you're my boy, you're my boy. You're my ride or die. I got you. And so that's, you know, I'd probably play the same way, and that might work to my favor or against me, but I never cared.
All right. Victor, where can people follow you on social media and talk to us a little bit about some of these tour dates or places you're going to be going to in the next month or so?
Yeah. So I'll keep it very simple for you guys. ElFitVic is my Instagram and Twitter handle. So there you go. That makes it so much easier. Snapchat. The Snapchat's on my Instagram, but it's Snapchat is VIII. I was not able to switch it to ElFitVic. October 15th, I'm going to be in Edmonton at the Ranch Roadhouse, if y'all want to show up. After that, we're going to be in Vancouver, but I still don't have the dates for sure of what we're doing and when we're doing it. We'll be at the West Edmonton Mall on, I believe, the 16th. I'll be in New York on Wednesday, but I don't have anything official planned over there for meet and greets or whatever. But if you catch me, just say hi and I'll hang out with you. We can have a beer. This Thursday, which is, what is that?
Thursday. I don't 13th. Know. 13th. Let's go with it.
13th. The 13th, I'll be with Paul, and we're doing a little meet and greet at his shop in Burbank, California, if y'all want to show up. But, as things come, I'll post it on my social media, and I hope y'all can come out and get some friendship with us.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely.
You guys you're definitely, you're going to be prepared for the amazing race after all this travel here.
Oh, I 100% want to go.
All right. Alex, Taryn, anything quickly for Victor before we let Victor get out of here?
What's it been like, you know, outside of the house, being America's favorite player? Like, what's it like to have a bunch of adoring fans?
Yeah. What's the response on the street?
The support has been unreal. Just getting so much love and support from everybody. And I really do answer all the Snapchats that I get, to answer as many DMs as I can, to answer tweets. I'll spend just hours out of my day on my phone trying to respond to you guys. And the fan mail that I get is awesome. It'd be nice if y'all wrote your social media on there so I can actually just send you a message back on social media. That'd be a whole lot better. But I'm getting just a bunch of love, and I'm loving it. It's awesome. Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Well, Victor, thank you to you for coming on the podcast with us today. We really appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule to chat about your game on BB18, and looking forward to following you on social media and seeing where your adventures take you, my friend. It looks like you've got an interesting month planned. So thank you to everybody for tuning in. Yes, and thank you to everybody for tuning into this edition to the Happy Hour. You can follow Victor on Twitter, as he mentioned. He's at LFitVic. You can follow Alex and Taryn as well. Alex is at Alex Kidwell. Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn. I am at Jordan Parhar. Hashtag for this episode, guys. I'm trying to think. I posted in the chat. Doesn't seem like anybody has any ideas. I guess hashtag fools we could go with. Or in honor of Baldwin, hashtag Baldwin.
Fools, hashtag Baldwin was on the air.
Okay. Hashtag Baldwin was on the air. So if you made it all the way to the end of this show, tweet us and let us know. Leave some comments on robiswebsite.com as well. You can also subscribe to the Happy Hour. Go to robiswebsite.com/happyhour. All right, guys, that's going to do it. We will be back Wednesday night at midnight Eastern to talk about the eviction on Big Brother Over the Top. For Victor Arroyo, Alex Kidwell, and Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag Baldwin on the air. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. Reality TV, we're happy hour. Reality TV, we're happy hour. The theme song of the Reality TV Happy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.